listening to TV Madness with Makisha Madden-Toby. I'm your host. Today we'll be talking to fellow TV critic Amy Amatangelo. In addition to being smart and funny as hell, she writes insightful reviews for the site TVGal.com and the likes of Pace Magazine, Emmy Magazine, and Emmy.com. Amy, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Well, thanks for having me. I feel like I want you to introduce me all the time.
Yes.
Go with me to parties.
Right? I'll just go with you to dinner parties and be like,
she's this incredibly insightful and funny. I'll be like, hello, it's me.
So where should we start? There's so much stuff TV-wise that's going on. It's like, who can even keep up, right?
I almost can't take it.
I can't. I can't take it. Let's talk about The Good Wife first, because people are still angry about Will.
I mean, I almost can't speak. I've watched TV a long time. I don't remember the last time I was this shocked. And I'm kind of, if I can set my anger aside, I kind of don't know how they kept it a secret. Like, nobody knew. Like, how did they pull that off?
I know.
Because, you know, you think they film the episode, and they film subsequent episodes, and there's crew members and extras, and there's all
That's
sorts
impressive.
Of people involved in the filming of an episode.
There must have been a lot of threats and
Don't you think? Like, do they take everybody's firstborn and hold them hostage until, like, the episode aired? I just don't understand how they managed to pull it off. Not just the actual episode that aired, but the subsequent ones. Like, this one that's going to air this Sunday, he's already dead. Everybody,
yeah.
You know? So it was a real shock, and I couldn't believe it. You know, it airs, I'm in East Coast, I'm in Boston,
right.
And it was delayed because of the NCAA playoffs. And so at one point we were watching in real time, and my husband and I were both like, ugh, watching in real time. We were so annoyed to be watching in real time that we had caught up with the show. And then I was like, I never have been so glad in my life to be watching something in real time, because I hadn't been. I would have been totally spoiled if I had watched it on delay with the DVR. So, I mean, but I, even when they show, even when they pulled the sheet back, I was like, well, no, he can't really be
dead.
No,
that's someone else with one shoe on. I know.
Right, no. I mean, but even when they showed his face, I was like, no, he's not dead. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. But, you know, I think, and I know a lot of people are angry, you know, there's a lot of people saying, like, oh, there's no way the officer would have had his gun unholstered, and that's so unrealistic. But I give TV a lot of leeway with stuff like that. I mean, I don't watch TV for true realism. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can give creative license to that. And they wanted him to have a death that was shocking and abrupt. And
I just didn't get the sense that the client was that unhinged.
Right.
It was to me, that was the part that lost me. Not even the gun in the holster part. It was just that he was accused of rape, and he didn't think he had much of a chance. And Will found some stuff that was going to help him out, and he couldn't, of course, known all of that, because they were, you know, the lawyers' backs were to, you know, to him, and I understand it. But I just was like, how does this guy go from, like, this mild mannered, falsely accused rapist,
right,
to, like, I'm crazy, I'm going to take this gun and just start shooting?
Well, I think a couple of things. We thought he was being beaten up, like, every day in jail, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was
part
of it.
Right.
But I also just think in life, we don't really know the people who are unhinged. When these kind of crazy things happen,
that's true.
You don't always know the people who are truly fighting demons. So, yeah, that didn't, you know, I feel like I'm just going to forgive the show for how they killed off Will, because I don't know what way they could have done it that I would have been okay with, like a massive heart attack. Like, what, you know, what would it have been okay? But I do think if I can set aside, like, how angry I am and how much I'm going to miss Will, because I just love his character so much, and I
right.
love Josh Charles.
He was one of the last good guys on the show, right? I mean,
right.
And on TV.
Like, he wasn't that good. He was pretty, like, you know, he had his
bad
side.
He was still better than some of the worst, right?
right, exactly. But I just think it's going to be so interesting now because, you know, the whole idea that Josh Charles wanted to leave the show, and I do agree with the producers and the writers when they said, oh, well, you know, we couldn't just have him go off on, you know, go to another law firm or be disbarred, because then he would always be out there as a romantic possibility for Alicia. And I think we as viewers would have been holding on to that.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, well, Will come back. Like, he'll sweep in. Like, and this is like, there's so obviously such a finality to death, and there's no chance that he's going to return to the show. I mean, the actor is going to return in flashbacks. He'll be in one this Sunday, but the character is gone.
He's
you know,
gone.
He is dead. And so what's that going to be like for Alicia? Because I wrote a review this week for Pace Magazine. I said, you know, a lot of people made fun of me because I was so convinced those two were hooking up again before the end of the season. And I got so many people tweeting me like, well, I guess you were wrong about that prediction. I'm like, well, yes, I was totally
well,
wrong about
even
that
the
prediction.
Way, even the way it went down when she goes to the courtroom to tell him, hey, you don't know, your clients caught me and they're shopping around for other the lawyers, they had a moment, and you thought,
it was a little flirty.
Right, in that moment, that little flicker, gleam of hope, you're like, oh, no, they still
right.
like
when she was
each
like,
other.
You know, when she's like, you're a better lawyer, I turned to my husband and said, oh, they're totally going to hook up. This is totally happening. You know, and then 15 minutes later, he was dead.
He was
but
it,
I feel
yeah.
like not only did I think they would hook up again, but I think Alicia thought they were going to hook up. I mean,
right.
I think in her mind, and that character's mind, she still
there was
held
always
that out
a, possibility.
As a possibility.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know? And now she's going to have to, she can't, like, all this whole season, besides being about her forming her own law firm with Carrie, has been about her squelching her true emotions for Will. I mean, one of the reasons she left to form her own firm is because she had to get away from Will.
Right.
Because she couldn't, you know, so now, and so she's been spent this whole time repressing her emotions. I don't think she's going to be able to do that now that he's
now
gone.
He's gone. Yes.
But I think, you know, I love what this show does. I love how it always surprises us. I think, for me, I was even thinking about today, I was like, but he's not going to be on the show anymore. Like, even if I can appreciate creatively what it might do for the show, I'm going to miss him and his
people
character
were
so
losing
much.
Their minds, though, Amy. I mean, some of it was like, okay, calm down, please.
Right.
Calm down and carry on. Because it was just like, it was like one woman I'm friends with on Facebook was like, I can't believe they killed Will. And I was like, hey, wait a spoiler. I mean, I already seen the episode, but
right.
it was just sort of like, well, what if people, for people who hadn't yet, everybody's
right.
not watching this when you're watching this crazy lady. Like, calm down.
Right.
It just was, but she, you could tell she was in a complete state of shock. And she was so angry. She didn't care about people who hadn't seen it yet. She was
right.
just like, what's going to happen to the show now, huh? And then she's like, well, what is Michael J. Michael J. Fox can't save the show now. And I'm like, oh, what is she talking
well,
about?
People get very invested. And I, you know, I mean, I always am just like, let's just see what happens.
Calm
like,
down.
I mean,
it's one episode. I mean, I'm sad that he's gone too, but calm down.
Right, right. Like, this is, we have to,
it
I mean,
is a TV
we have
show.
The perspective of like, this actually is just a TV show.
Like, you know, Charles you don't really know him.
Well,
okay,
but,
yeah. It's funny that you said that this Just Charles, the actor, I just saw him on Amy Schumer. They sent the advanced episodes, and I thought, what's he doing on here now that I know his character is dead? I was like, of course, he probably had a ton of time to kill.
Well, that's what I think is so interesting, too. Like, how do they keep that a secret that he wasn't showing up to set anymore? Like, I mean, it's just there's so much that they had to kind of keep under wraps. I mean,
impressive.
And, you know, in this day and age of, like, Twitter and Facebook and all
yeah.
the, like, gossip and sites and spoilers and blah, 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 we're never surprised anymore.
No.
Like, especially if you do what we do. Like, we always kind of know on some level hints of what's coming, and I had no idea.
I had none. That was amazing.
I don't think anybody did.
That was amazingly done. I don't know how they yeah. pulled it off, but kudos.
No, I
to
really
them.
Think they held everybody's like firstborns in like a room. We're like, well, let them out.
Well, they have pictures or something. Yeah. So that we're going to move on from the Good Wife because we're going to play a little game where you talk about why I should, like, you know, in a minute or less, why I should watch Parenthood, and I'm going to convince you or try to convince you in a minute or less why you should watch The Walking Dead. So.
Because those shows have so much. Those two shows have so much in common.
They have nothing in common.
Coming soon.
Except you love Parenthood and I love The Walking Dead. So
yes, that's what they have in common. Should I go first with Parenthood?
Yes, please.
Well, you know, here's what I have to say about Parenthood. I think the hardest type of TV show to do and the hardest type of drama to do is the family drama because there's no, like, case to litigate, crime to solve, patient to save. Like, there's nothing to motivate each episode. All that it is the family drama and the interaction between the family members. I think Parenthood does that brilliantly. And the way those family members relate to each other and the problems they have are so real to me. And I think – and they what I really love about the show is they take – everyday things and make them dramatic in a way that you really care and are invested.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if someone took my life and I tried to make a TV show out of it, they'd be like, oh, she couldn't use her coupon at the grocery store. Like, you mean, like, what? How would it make it interesting, right? But they really take these really, like, nuanced moments of, like, a kid, you know, they had a whole storyline this season about a child having to be held back a grade in school, which, to kind of create real drama about that and make you really care about the characters and this child and that decision, that's really tough, and they pull it off. And I think it's really relatable because it's taking things that people deal with in everyday life.
Yeah, I watched the only episode I've seen this season is the Aida baptism episode, and I was touched. I was really moved. So maybe I will add it to my DVR queue.
You should. It's really, and you know, and I really think, like, this season they're dealing with Joel and Julia. They're getting a divorce,
mm-hmm.
Or they're going through a separation. I think a lot of people have been
kind of uncoupling, as Gwyneth puts it.
Right, exactly. Conscious uncoupling. Oh my God.
Oh,
that's
God.
That's a whole other podcast.
Oh my God.
Don't get me started.
Gwyneth.
Oh my God, could that be more annoying? We can't go off on a tangent. You know, I think that, you know, the way they've handled that has been really so well done. And, you know, and the characters are sometimes selfish and self-righteous,
mm-hmm.
and just all the things that, of people that you normally meet. And, you know, the parents are overprotective and sometimes make the wrong choices.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think the show
is
brilliantly
done. As we all
do.
Yeah.
Right.
There are parts
and
of
I love Friday Night Lights, and it's the same.
Yeah, tone. And there's something There's something similar about those shows, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I see what you mean, totally. And definitely that human drama, like just real stuff, nothing like your coworker was shot in a courtroom. But
right, exactly. Like,
what are we going to do for this baptism?
Or the president
I don't
having
in
an affair, right?
Right. Okay, so now this is the part where I try to convince you to watch The Walking Dead. And all I can say is it also sort of evolves and grows, is based on, you know, grown from the whole human drama element, sort of, you know, what will happen, what would you do if your baser instincts kicked in and you hadn't, you know, you didn't have anybody else and you didn't know what else to do and all you were trying to do was survive, and who would you want to be with and how would that look and how would you try to protect them and how would you protect yourself? And I love that they're doing like the second half of this current fourth season has been all about that, sort of the smaller dramas of, you know, day-to-day survival and, you know, what does that look like? And then, you know, sort of stuff that comes out of left field and that you don't expect, like people not really, like, you know, having their stuff together, being mentally together or being stable. And sort of how these sort of, I guess, post-apocalyptic societies, who's good and who's bad? Is there such thing as good and bad? Like, what does that look like? I just love it. I love it. And I love zombies, but if you take the zombies out of it, it's still that human element, you know, the stuff that we relate to, the way we see ourselves and characters we can relate to. And I love that. I love that about The Walking Dead. I hope they never change it.
Well, you know, the thing about The Walking Dead is one of those shows that I can, like, objectively appreciate what a good show it is, but mm-hmm. I just have trouble watching it. Like, it's not like I haven't watched episodes here and there. Mm-hmm. I just think, for me, what's hard for me to get past is kind of the gore and the violence mm-hmm. and the, like, bloody explosive zombie deaths. And, like, just, like, the gruesomeness of it. It's just kind
those
of...
Those zombie deaths have gotten worse. They have. I will give you...
Right.
What are you thinking of Scandal these days? Do you
here's my thing about Scandal is... I loved the first season. I thought the first season was a brilliant show. And I loved how they had a case every week and a different client every week. And I thought that really worked for the show. And I haven't liked it as much since they've gotten away from that. And it's all about B613 and, like, all these different conspiracies. And so insular, you know? And
yeah.
So I have a trouble with the show now, as much as I kind of sometimes enjoy it. But, like, the whole idea that, like, there's nobody good left, like,
right.
Everybody's a murderer, like, everybody's awful, everybody does terrible things, and the whole Fitz and Olivia thing is so dysfunctional.
It's so
at this
weird.
Point.
Yeah.
It's so weird and dysfunctional, and it makes me like her less, that she's just degrading herself in this way, you know?
Right, even if you watched it sort of for, like, those cheap Cinemix, you know, hot flash heat moments of, like, sexiness. That's gone, too, because Kerry Washington's pregnant. Nobody wants to see a pregnant woman in a make-out love scene. That's gross.
No, I know. I felt like they were, you know, it was funny, because there was one episode week I watched. I was like, oh, you can barely tell she's pregnant. It was like, boom, the next week. I'm like, oh, she's really pregnant.
Right, they came back, and she was, because that's how pregnancy is.
Like, hugely pregnant, right.
You know.
No, they do the weird things, like that huge purse she carries around and everything.
Like,
I mean,
and that coat she keeps wearing.
Olivia. Right. It's better than making Olivia pregnant, though. So, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, that would be so wrong. But it's just also wrong because it's sort of like Kerry Washington can only do so much. And God bless
right.
her, she's, you know, trying to finish the season. But it's like, it just limits, because if that was the one thing, one of the few things they had working for them was that there's, you know, a lot of chemistry between them, a lot of physical chemistry, and you believe them as lovers.
Right.
No.
Now there's a big baby bump between them. Well, you know, but I also just think, to me, even with taking that out, I just am like, I don't, there's that scene they had a couple weeks ago where they're fighting. They've obviously just slept together and they're fighting and all the Secret Service agents are outside. Jake's outside. They can all hear
right,
them. I'm like,
right.
There's something just so gross about this. That, like,
now everybody's in on it.
Like, it's just so, and I mean, I just don't buy, like, this is a great love and we can't fight ourselves, you know, can't fight it anymore. I'm just not buying what they're selling anymore.
What about Vermont? What about Vermont?
Like, okay. I know, what about Vermont and
no,
the jam?
Stop.
Like, you know, and bake cookies and have muffins. No, I just, to me, and, like, the Quinn thing sends me
over the
edge.
What is going on with Quinn? And that gross kiss between her and
Huck? That was, like, the grossest thing ever. Like, I'll never unsee that. It was so bad.
Did you just lick her? It was so wrong.
And she's just an awful character now. Like, I mean, I didn't love her before, but now it's just, like, the worst. And she's getting so much screen time compared to, like, all the other characters who I'd really like to see more of, you know? I just don't really know. I mean, I just can't quite figure out what you know, I think they're running out of things. They're going so fast, and they're kind of speeding through storylines, and everybody's a murderer, and Jake's now killed people, and, like, I'm just kind of sick of the whole B613, and, like, I don't know, I'm just not, and even last week when Olivia gave that big speech about, like, together we'll take them down, I'm like,
Yeah, and I was still trying to recover from the kiss, and also from like what's her dad's name, Rowan?
Right.
The speeches, his speechifying is just getting out of control. I mean, like, it's just like no one talks like that. You know how exhausted you'd be? You'd pop a vessel, right. Like, it's just really
let's
over
do the
top.
Next podcast like that, Makisha. Let me tell you something.
Tell you about the 183. Like, oh
right,
my god.
Enunciate everything.
I hate that
we
number
are
now.
Talking about. Right.
I hate the number 183 because of him.
Right. But I also think that that is a problem with the show. I have a friend who watches the show, and she's like, what really bothers me is they all talk the same, and that is really
right.
True.
No one could do that. Like, I think Joe Morton's going to win an Emmy because he's awesome. I hope he does, but it's like, but he needs to stop. Like, I think he's put the time in and put the work in to get that Emmy nomination. I don't want him to talk like this anymore.
Which one?
Rowan, the dad, Joe Morton.
Right.
His character is
And everybody makes these grandiose speeches.
Yes.
Nobody just says, like, hey.
How you doing today? What about this weather? Like, no one has time for small talk in that show. Everything is big talk, fast talk.
But I do like, I do still love Melly. She's still one of my favorite characters.
Melly's hilarious.
I'm glad for her to have a little, like, love her.
Finally get some on the side? Yes, me
yeah,
too.
Yeah, no, I was like,
good
you
for
go
her.
For it, Melly. Like,
yes.
I'll offer you.
I'm so excited
Melly,
for her.
You're not a murderer, and neither is this vice presidential candidate, so good time.
I like them. They're cute.
Yeah. I like John Tenney as an actor. I've always liked him.
Yeah,
but
too.
I just kind of feel like the show is going to, like, run out of steam so fat and kind of collapse in on itself. I really wish, like, even if just once in a while they bring out an external candidate, external client for them to help. Like, they haven't done that in so long. And I
think
the
last client she had was, like, who, Lisa Kudrow?
Right, and even that was, like, still tied to everything else, kind
in
of.
The
but
White
at least
House,
that was,
yeah, because she was trying
but
to
that,
be a
you're
president.
You're right, it
candidate.
Was Lisa Kudrow. And I would just love it if they could just do... I think that would balance the show, because if every episode is just on this whole B613, everybody's killing each other, 183 people, yada, yada, like, it's going to be too much.
It's too much. They need to, sort of scale down and go back to the roots that made the show what it was and made the show good.
And I just really, like, well, the Quinn thing has to stop.
Yes. Olivia needs to help somebody outside of her own firm. She needs to help an actual client. And how are they paying their bills? Who is she helping? Oh, that's right. She's working for the
that's a good point. Well, she's a
campaign manager.
Manager, lest we forget. Because clearly you would get the woman that everyone thinks you're having an affair with to be your campaign
Let's
manager.
Bring her on.
Who better?
Woo-hoo.
Who better?
Yeah. Her fake boyfriend, Jake. I love this. I will say I loved his speech about, I'm a man and I need this and I need that. And if you're going to have some real food in this house, I'm going to be your fake boyfriend. I thought that was brilliant.
I did too. And that's what kind of bummed me out, that they made him a murderer, because
he was one
I
of
thought
few...
he was like such a charming character up until that point.
Yeah.
And his whole thing of like, I did what had to be done, that whole nonsense that like
whatever,
for the greater, to save the country and to save the republic, I did what had to be done. I'm like, oh, for the love of God, come on.
I know. Well, oh my God, Amy, I could talk to you forever, but you got to go and I got to go. We got to go. And I really appreciate you doing the show. We got to do this again soon.
No, this is awesome. It's so fun to talk to you.
It's always fun talking to you. Take care.
Thanks so much.
You're
Bye.
Welcome. Bye. That was our guest, Amy Amatangelo. She is brilliant, like I mentioned before, if I can't say that enough. And she, like I said, you can find her at TVGal.com, Paste Magazine, Emmy Magazine, and Emmy.com. Check her out. She's worth the read. Our sponsor, Record Surplus in Santa Monica, the last record store. Visit RecordSurplusLA.com. The amazing Theo Mondale, who is making this sound better than I'm telling you, I'm actually a frog in real life, and Theo somehow made my voice sound like a woman's voice, so he's brilliant. NPR West, production assistant and graphic artist Adam Janis. Thanks, Adam, and you. Thanks for listening. Take care.